Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, it's a C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, I'm going to have a conversation that people tend to be uneasy about. I'm going to have a conversation about race in politics. In fact, that's actually a book, Race in Politics, right? I forget the author of that book right now, but it's a textbook that is used in the Bahamian schools. Recently, I came across a post by Professor Gilbert Morris, and I want to read that quote as the start of my conversation. It says, imagine a man who is by word and deed just, honorable, gracious, firm, and kind, a man who is consistent in these virtues. And yet, in society, which claims to the cultivation of such humans as its principal goal, as the source and purpose of its cherished rules and regulations, such an exemplary man is its mortal enemy. And that's by Professor Gilbert Morris, lectures on Martin Luther King Jr. at George Mason University. And he wrote that in 1999 in reference to Martin Luther King, that a man who they decided to be, who pursued just to be just and moral, tends to be the enemy of society, right? Now, this is the subject of my conversation. Recently, I saw the headline where the Prime Minister of the Bahamas was making a political statement, and I'm going to have that article read. I sent the article to Erin so she can read that. You know, she likes to read. Let me see if I can find that again. And it echoes a letter to the editor by Orton Bodie, who is a talk show host too. But it's the article. You can pull that up on your phone too, Erin. FNM is the party of elites. It's a Tribune article. It was yesterday, and I want to read that as I do an analysis on both political parties regarding race, right? I mentioned to Erin to save that post regarding White. What that White first name is again? The MP. What's your MP first name is?
You knew Ed White?
No, your MP's first name.
Adrian,
yes. Adrian White.
I just need you to understand that I may have to take a slightly hostile tone with you. But no, because his mummy is my neighbor.
That's okay.
Yeah.
He lives down the road from you too. But that's okay.
Yeah.
But
true.
While I'm doing analysis, I was not concentrating on Adrian White per se. But this conversation is about race and politics. And Adrian White happens to be white. Right?
Yeah,
that's true. And I want you to read the article that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas said. And so race is still a big thing in our Bahamian politics. And I want to delve in that because I want to know, is the FNM a party of white elites?
Mm-hmm.
And does the PLP have white elites in their party?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the whole conversation about.
Okay, I just want to make this point. Not defending my MP, because I like to chafe up politicians.
Yeah.
Gosh, I like to chafe up politicians. But Adrian White has a mixed family.
I get that.
His wife is of African.
I get that.
I just want to make sure we...
You can explain all of that when I bait you and you answer that. But I ain't get there yet. I want to see if he's part of that elite crowd.
Because when you say, is the white man a white man from a white party, I just feel like...
Let's read what the Prime Minister says. Because there is a social uneasiness, and we need to get to the bottom of it to see if being white, being wealthy, is something alien to Bohemian politics that we need to be afraid of. And I want to delve into that. But no, I want you to read the article and then you'll understand where I'm going.
Davis, FNM is party of elites.
That maybe is true. I'm not saying that it is true or false, but now I need to understand what he mean by a party of elites.
What is meant by party of elites and what he means by party of elites,
yes, all
right?
Of that,
okay,
yes.
Cool. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis taunted the Free National Movement during a Progressive Liberal Party meeting last night, highlighting Dr. Hubert Minister's continued outsider status in a party he once led. How long is the average PLP meeting? Is it like a Baptist service? It could be like 4 hours?
Yes.
Wondered how he had the time to be taunting people.
Yes, sorry.
Dr. Minister told reporters this week that his party's leaders have not, quote, tapped, close quotes, him on his shoulder, a cheeky reference to Michael Pintard's comment that people who have participated in the party's mandatory training session have been tapped to build support in constituencies. While addressing PLP supporters in Pinewood last night, Mr. Davis painted the FNM as fractured and ineffectual. Quote, poor Minis say nobody tapped him on the shoulder, close quotes, he said. Quote, well, PLPs, let me tell you, he might be waiting a long time for that tap because it looks like they're tapping everybody except him. Quote, imagine their former leader, the man who they paraded around as their standard bearer, can't even make it through their training sessions. Training sessions. Close quotes.
Okay, go ahead.
The PM is talking about training sessions?
This week, but go ahead, keep going.
Quote, you mean to tell me that Minis, who was prime minister just a few years ago, now needs to sit in class to learn how to run?
He's saying the prime minister just said he's not attending no training session with the PLP putting on. That's for the lower set.
That's what our prime minister said?
Read it again. Minis, the FNM is asking for everyone to attend training session. We know the PLP has training session. Mm-hmm. They had one last week. They have one this week. Mm-hmm. And our prime minister hinted what former prime ministers should not do. Read what he said former prime minister should do.
Quote, you mean to tell me that Minis, who was prime minister just a few weeks ago, now needs to sit in class to learn how to run?
So he said Minis does not need to sit in any class, nor does he need to sit in class, nor is he prepared to sit in any class because he's above that.
Oh, that's what we infer from those words.
Yes.
Ah, boy, I mean, I inferred a whole, so much I thought I was infrared just now. Mm-hmm. Mr. Davis also touted that what he called progress in infrastructure development, economic reform, and efforts to lower the cost of living. Mr. Davis also touted what he called progress in infrastructure development, economic reform, and efforts to lower the cost of living. Quote, we're building hospitals. Where? Raising wages that were raised years ago. You should say we're paying raised wages that we should have paid a long time. Promoting workers and delivering results for the Bahamian people. Close quotes, he said. We don't have time to interrogate that either. Hey?
No.
He highlighted initiatives to ease financial pressures on Bahamians, including reducing VAT on essential goods, overhauling the energy sector to lower electricity prices. Why didn't you reduce or remove entirely the VAT from feminine hygiene protection products?
We're interrogating that right now.
Sorry, my bad. He highlighted initiatives to ease financial pressures on Bahamians, including reducing VAT on essential goods, overhauling the energy sector to lower electricity prices, and diversifying supply chains by importing goods directly from countries like Brazil. Quote, the same beef and other products that we currently buy from the United States, we're going to make it easier to bring them in directly from Brazil or wherever and cut out the middleman, close quotes, he said. Mr. Newry, not true the Gulf of America, though.
Don't worry about it.
Okay,
I understand it, the humor. Go ahead.
Quote, we're going to stop unfair business practices that make it hard for new businesses to succeed, close quotes.
That's what Americans are complaining.
That's what the egg people complaining about, Nuri.
But okay, but we ain't talking about that. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. He urged PLP members to remain united, emphasizing the importance of solidarity as the party heads into what he described as a pivotal election.
We soon get there. Go ahead.
He accused the opposition of being silent on the issue of monopolies.
See, this is where we're getting into. There's monopolies in the Bahamas. We're trying to find out who these monopolies are.
You accusing the opposition of being silent on the issue of monopolies?
Apparently, they're not being silent anymore. They're going to do something about it. But that getting to my point. Keep on reading.
I bet you he thought he spiked the football just now.
I know the number boys have a monopoly, but that's okay.
He urged PLP members to remain united, emphasizing the importance of solidarity as the party heads into what he described as a pivotal election. He accused the opposition. Okay, sorry. We're all hoping for...
Go ahead, read.
He accused the opposition of being silent on the issue of monopolies and failing to prioritize the economic well-being of ordinary Bahamians. He suggested, without evidence, that the FNM's failure to comment or address these issues is tied to their financial backers.
Getting there now.
He framed the PLP as the only party capable of driving. You're not even capable of driving.
We soon get to your MP. Go ahead.
Capable of driving meaningful reform and delivering a more equitable incoming. Close quotes. That's familiar. He promised, adding that lower prices and increased competition would benefit all Bahamians, not just a select few. Quote, if one person or one set of people own everything all the time, then they can charge what they like. Close quotes. He definitely spiked the football right there.
Go ahead, continue.
That's the end of the article.
Okay, good. So what I'm being perceived is that yesteryears, right, that the UBP control all of the markets and that some remnants of the UBP exists that the FNM is afraid of addressing because that's their sponsors, right? This sentiment of the FNMs are being elite is also echoed by another article by in Ortlin Bodhi. I send that to you too. Using the same phrases some earlier in 2024, right? And where the FNM is being pegged, being described as being that elitist group, that protective group of white elites, right? And I want to interrogate that. I'm just going to your MP. Your MP, mm-hmm. Adrian White, is mm-hmm. the descendant of an UBP.
Mm-hmm.
His grandfather, what was his grandfather's name?
I never met him.
Oh, you never met him? You don't know the battle, you know your MP.
I never met his grandfather.
His grandfather used to be...
Is it John Stone?
John Stone. He used to be the head of the UBP, and he is branded
mm-hmm.
as a UBP, even though it's been years, maybe decades, scores of years.
John Stone.
No, I'm talking about Adrian White.
He's branded as a UBP because he's white.
Yes, but I ain't get there
but
yet.
That's about it.
Yeah, I ain't get there yet because he is white. We know that. And this continuous narrative of the FNM is the UBP and the UBP is an FNM. I need to see if that is factual. Is a person like a Brent Simonet, his father being a UBP head also, and being a sponsor, right? What do you call it? People donate money. Benefactor.
Donors.
Donor of the Free National Movement. Does that make the Free National Movement it's still the UBP because they have people who have descended from a different era as part of that era, that they prejudice and anti-Bahamian. I know Bradley Roberts was a UBP. We know that's factual. We know mm-hmm. that his family is heavy seeded into the PLP, right? I want to know whether the UBP is in the PLP also, or only white people who was formerly UBP. Is the demon, is the boogeyman. Because the narrative that
I mean, being, I think it should be obvious by now that there is an elite. There is a political
only
class.
White people are part of the elite?
No. Come on.
There's black people are part of the elite. Because I know Mrs. Brent Simonet has real money. I don't want to know if anyone in the PLP has real money and a part of that elite. Because the narrative continues to come up. And I want to know, like, let me bait you more.
Wait, hold on, man.
You want to respond? Go ahead.
No, I can respond, but you know, you realize that Simonet and White, Adrian, they are not the same.
We reference all of them the same because they have the same complexion.
But they don't,
see,
technically.
But see, we reference them as all of the same. You might say they're not, for whatever reason. what is being put forward as a political narrative is they all the same. Mm-hmm. If it happens that, God forbid, that Mr. Simonet transitions, the FNM still is going to be narrative as the elite party. When will the FNM move from being that UBB party ever?
As soon as the PLP dissolve. See, because they like the Saxon and the Valley. You can't define one without the other. Simple as that.
The PLP has two white people I can think of right now off the cuff of my head. I may forget the names. Sweden, mm-hmm. who is a millionaire from Spanish Wells. Mm-hmm. And we know Spanish Wells, once upon a time, their narrative is that if you were black, you couldn't be on the island. That's part of their narrative. And then they have Ryan Pinder, who's also a descendant of Spanish Wells. Ryan Pinder loves... Oh, that's someone writing about me again.
No, but I can't let Oika see that word on the camera.
Okay. And Ryan Pinder, who's also descended from Spanish Wells, right? Ryan Pinder, you know, I love that. That's a good, I believe he should deserve to be prime minister. He's brilliant, right?
What about John Pinder?
Brian, he's Abaco. He's a different type of white person. Different type of white person. But the PLP has
okay, so we got different... you recognize we got different types of white, because I'm wondering if Clay and Ryan are also the same.
See, and this is what we our conversation about is race in politics. The PLP uses a narrative that the FNM mm-hmm. has UBP outlook, right? Anti the masses. When they have members within the party, senior members within the party, senior ministers within the party, who have lineage with the same narrative, but they do not object when the party itself said, hey, those white people are evil.
Because it's a political spin, right? It's a political...
Who's it spinning for? Who's it benefiting?
It ain't, first of all, it's not benefiting anybody.
So then why say it? You got to say these
because things. Because you have no sense of self, no sense of location, no sense of time, no sense of belonging, and no sense of sense. That's why they say it. They think it has a benefit, but it is detrimental. Broader than the political discussion, it is detrimental to the cohesive development and expansion of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It's problematic foolishness.
And this is why I brought it up, for that what you just said, right? Moving forward, if we need to address it.
But here's how I would rephrase it. Moving forward, we cannot allow the political class, the political realm, and political parties to frame, construct, or curate conversations about race. They cannot be responsible for it. Now, they could say whatever they want to say. They could make as much noise as they want to make. But we, the people, must stand up. And even if you're just sitting down, you say to yourself, I can't let politicians tell me what race is in the Bahamas. Because like you say, what does it mean for the PLP to suggest that the FNM is still linked to the UBP and raise all those racist undertones without acknowledging, like you say, that some of the people in their own party, senior members, are the descendants of these same lineages, descendants of the same culture, and benefactors to this day of that prior construct.
Someone asked me recently, can there ever be a white prime minister of the government of the Bahamas? Because they have issues with the last election in the U.S. and said, okay, they're uneasy and the world isn't prepared for it. And I throw it, man, Ryan Pinder could be prime minister now. I say, Clay Sweeten could be groomed to be prime minister. And they said, not inside this Bahamas. And I said, why not?
Okay.
And they're saying that their own party will cannibalize them when it comes to that point. And I said, no, man, these are accepted members of the Progressive Liberal Party with equal footing and equal voting, and the people accept them and embrace them.
Now, here's the difference between Ryan and Clay in this very moment, only in this moment right now. I watch Clay sail the boat.
Yeah.
I watch Clay pull the thing. I watch his body almost dip in the water. I watch Clay do that. Mm-hmm. Is Ryan Pinder entrenched in Bahamian culture to the same extent that Clay Sweeting is.
I would say, yeah.
Ryan is playing a rake and scrape band on the family island.
I don't.
Because those Bahamans we call white Bahamans, they got a rake and scrape
Ryan
band.
Ryan Pinder, the Honorable Ryan Pinder grew up in Nassau, not that family island thing. But those of us who went to QC.
You SAC, telling me?
No, let me finish this. Those of us who went to QC and SAC is familiar with him. He can say, no, that's one of us.
QC and SAC are elite schools.
No, it's not. Everyone I know who went to SAC was poor.
That's the set you knew.
And see, I know Ryan for shooting marbles and getting his foot dirty and kicking dust.
See, but when
he's a poor white boy.
But when I tell
even though I know he have money.
When I tell you,
keep bringing bananas for everybody.
I spend my summers getting run out of the bush.
Yeah.
By Adrian and his older brother, by our next neighbor and the older brothers, right?
Adrian ain't going QC too? I know school he going to.
The point is, I done watched this boy skin up his knee on the pothole road. I done watched this boy wheelie his bike onto the main road and then swing it back onto the private road dead quick. I did the same things. I done experienced that with the white boy.
So they are one of us until election time when we change the narrative.
Which is why we cannot allow the political narrative, not in this instance, not in any instance, to be the dominant narrative. It is fickle. It is mutable. And most of all, it is frivolous and foolish. It's illusions and magic. We cannot allow the political narrative to define who we are.
But it's going to come up again this election. And it's coming up now.
And hopefully the political pundits, those who are hired, sought out, who volunteer to give commentary around elections and the campaigning, hopefully they are armed with this knowledge that surely people could have their opinions, but the political narrative cannot be the narrative that we prioritize. It is not the narrative that we root our commentary and public discourse in.
The UBP spirit, which is evoked as a boogeyman every election. You don't want us to go back to that generation. No one under 50 is aware of it. Because
and that's why nobody knows that we're still there. See, that's right?
Go ahead.
Because the political narrative has presided. Like you say, we're 50 years on and nobody knows about the UBP experience.
Because they never was there.
No, because they weren't taught it. And so they don't realize they're still living it.
But what is the UBP experience? How do we define that? Where Nobu is...
Closed markets. It's a good...
They're going back to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister says now he is trying to open up closed markets. And the closed markets...
Open up what closed markets? The markets he closed himself? Let's talk about electricity and energy.
Hold on, we're getting there. That the UBP is trying... The UBP spirit is trying to protect... who sponsors the FNM. That they're trying to open up these same closed markets that the spirit of the UBP is protecting.
Here's the irony. Here's why we all like a good joke. Because while the PLP and its principle is suggesting to us that the FNM and its UBP roots that live on are trying to maintain us in a state of oppression and marginalize us from economic opportunities that exist and could exist in our country, it is in fact the political class that is doing the exact same thing that the Prime Minister is a part of.
You need to give an example of that because I'm not sure what you're talking about. What can the political class do? Now, there's different type of elites. There's an economic elite. There's a political elite. And, of course, there are educational elites in the Bahamas. And we get confused because we don't know which one we are meaning at particular times.
What they do is they limit access to opportunities. They prevent access to opportunities. So what happens is an initiative arises, but the common man is never able to prepare himself to bid or participate because he's not given enough time. And so those who have access to the information, they hoard it and they give it to those who they think they can benefit from if they succeed. A perfect example, the government uses some civil society organizations as tools to disseminate information and, more importantly, opportunities to the wider public. They rely on their non-governmental and civil service and non-governmental and civil sector partners to take policy initiatives and to disseminate them to the public and to create frameworks and platforms that enable the public to take advantage of these opportunities. But what happens is these civic organizations and non-governmental organizations host these ministers and policymakers for lunches. They gain access to the information and they share it with no one. Another example that I have heard about from people directly for decades now is, you know, the number of academic and grant opportunities that come through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But when they are made public, there's 1 week before the deadline, 2 days before the deadline. That is infrastructural violence, and a culture is taking root where people feel like their blessing from God is that they have first access to the information. And because of that, they have the right to use the information as they wish. And they share it with those who they feel they could benefit from if they succeed. Those are two clear examples that we've experienced for decades, of how the political class colludes with the merchant class to maintain the same environment that existed under the UBP.
I have a quote from an editorial from Ortlin Booty, which I hinted at. It sounds very similar to what the Prime Minister said when he addressed his PLP crowd. This excerpt says, "The FNM appears to be the party of the elites and the remnants of the former United Bohemian Party, UBP. By just a casual observation of the attendees, the PLP, on the other hand, remains the party of the least within our nation. The stark battle lines have been drawn in the proverbial sand. The wide division within the FNM have also been exposed, and it will be interesting to see just how those critical divisions will be settled or solved anytime before the next general election."
Where do people take their FTX people for lunch? Wait. Like those people who had the, like, they were advantaged so that they could legitimately make money by offering catering services, right? Like feeding the people, the FTX people. Where they went to go feed them?
They went to the elite hotels.
Okay, then.
And where do the political people in charge now have their meetings? At the big hotels. So they're instead of crafting opportunities for everyday Bohemians, we're now seeing the same political parties who complain that the other political party is a party of elites are crafting new elites.
In fact, the Bahamas, who touts that it has the leading tourism leading tourism product in the world, it appears as if our two premier resorts have become employment programs for second-rate entertainers in the U.S., where these resorts should be offering opportunities for Bahamians to connect to the world. They're offering opportunities for tourists to connect to the rest of the world in our country, to the exclusion of us. And I see and
the
hail...
The creation of elites.
I see and hail the success of Simeon Hall Jr., Brentford Hall. This boy just won a Grammy. He won a Grammy because... An Emmy. His food is singing to my belly. He won that Emmy because he was prepared for the opportunity. He prepared himself. So when the opportunity struck, he was ready. And he was in that space, right? But that's just one. It can't be just one. And you can't tell me, oh, be grateful that you got a Brentford Hall with an Emmy. Why are culinary stars that can't excel in the U.S. come in here and take in premier spots? And here's what I mean.
Because we're second rate?
No.
Let's go to the caller.
Okay, then. Never mind.
Producer, pass the caller through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call going once. No? Okay, then. We're going to take this quick break because the caller didn't come through. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Call us back. We're happy to connect you to it.
Wait, Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritty.
You need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious boy, this real serious boy.
But what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle like he drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing, Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online, BahamasEtickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill, Big Boys Cafe, and Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM, where we're talking about political elites, social elites, and whether both political parties, two major political parties, the AFDM and the PLP, has elites within them. Mm-hmm. We're noticing that one particular party is demonized more as having elites. The other political party is for the common man. And I was debating with Aaron that we are noticing that in one of the political parties, whenever they're entertaining real money, investors, they tend to safeguard the money for themselves and not necessarily have that money trickle down, despite their narrative of being the party for the common man. Mm-hmm. That both political parties are guilty of gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they both have members who can be of the lineage of a former time, but yet one is negatively characterized in contrast to the other. And mm-hmm. that the common man is being purposely manipulated by politicals in general. I want to know, can white bohemians be something other than UBP?
Of course.
Even though they white, can we see them?
Of course, okay.
Can black bohemians see them as being something other than descendants of
yes,
UBP in that era?
If we let the historians tell the history and not the politicians tell the history, right? If we allow that to happen, like the only time we talk about race is at election time as a part of an election campaign. In that state, no, it won't happen. But if we change the narrative and let the historian speak, and let Bahamians speak about their lived experiences, then we would see that how Bahamians reconcile with race presently and how they reconciled with race historically is different from what the politicians attempt to convince us of.
There are a number of white Bohemians who are trying to embrace, or who are, or who have embraced Bohemian culture as their own. They do John Canoe. They cook souse. They cook stews.
Hold on. And they rake and scrape.
And they rake and scrape.
Not just dance. They band.
However, there are a number of black Bohemians saying, man, that's ours. Why are y'all trying to copy us?
Because those black Bohemians have been caught up in the same false narrative. They don't have a good sense of self, belonging, place, or time.
Recently, Clay Sweden made a comment about majority rule and celebrating of it, right? And said, no, it wasn't majority rule. I stand corrected. Forgive me for that. When Shenandoah and Cartwright and Doze did that strange thing and threw the mace out of the, or attempted to throw the mace out of the room, and said, y'all are trying to attempt to do what's Linden. They can never be as the Linden again. Y'all are making a mockery, basically, of the memory of Sir Linden.
Hold on, PLPs in this current Davis administration said that?
That's a white Bohemian who said it, in current administration said it. And I'm trying to say, I appreciate what you're saying, but you...
I don't appreciate what he's saying.
You belong to a descendant of an era that is what the day represents, right? That we are free from that, you all.
Yeah, perhaps lineage. It was inappropriate for Sweden to say that, but also it's inappropriate from anybody from this current PLP administration, the last PLP administration, or the one before that, to suggest any of those words should come out of their mouth or any PLP's mouth ever. Mm. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to, again, delve into race relations in terms that there are a number of white Bohemians who do not feel that they are being embraced, allowed in to celebrate. And it's difficult for them to meander their way, marshal their way into being.
Now watch this. When you say white Bohemians, right? There are a number of people who are perceived as white.
They too have an issues. So that's a broad range, right? Including all of them.
Because I know people from Family Islands who are hard red, hard yellow.
Whatever range.
They acknowledge this African descent. They have African ancestry to some degree, but they also acknowledge that they are not predominantly African descent. They would not be recognized as African, and there is no space in the collective public discourse that identifies them or who they could resonate with. And primarily because only the politicians talk about race at election time.
We have another call. Hang up. Okay. I know it's a difficult conversation, you know. I know it's a difficult conversation, but moving forward, because I know election is at the cusp, right? Mm-hmm. I know that it's going to be brought up again. We're going to get emotive again about race.
I see you have your call, then I got this article I want to read.
Read after the call, then. Go ahead, Carla. Can you hear me? You're live. I can hear you, Carla. You turn on the radio.
Good day.
Good day.
Mr. Nuri.
Yeah.
And good day, Aaron.
Good day, good day.
Mr. Nuri, you said you're 3% Irish?
According to the UB, whatever they think they did the other day.
From which family name?
What do you mean, which family name? It's the DNA. DNA doesn't come from family name. They do the DNA test.
Saying that?
They did a DNA test. They didn't come from family. They didn't trace family lineage. They traced my DNA inside my body.
Oh, because one time I hear you say you are 5%.
I belong to several family members. My family being here from 1784, that means I gone through a lot of different family, from Clarks to Hannah Hasty Tynes to Wilsons, Farquharsons to DeVos to Corleys. I have a lot of them. I'm sure you have a lot of them too.
Yeah. Another thing. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark Knowles.
Oh, that
tennis player?
That letter in the paper, eh?
Huh?
You talking about the letter in the paper?
Mark knows the human tennis player.
Yes.
He's classed y'all as what?
Phenotypically white. We know who his daddy is.
You know who his daddy is?
Yeah.
Phenotypically white, which means that they just to the eyes, you would presume that they're white, but with closer visual examination or even a deeper DNA test, you will find that they have a percentage of African descent or non-Caucasian or non-European ancestry?
He's mixed race like me.
Because you know that Jimmy Knowles, former member from Long Island, and Emmerich Knowles, Alexia Knowles, were his uncles, right?
Yes.
You know their grandmother was black as,
Black as black a beautiful night.
Yeah.
From Long Island, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I just want to ask that question because you classing them and saying white.
Yeah, phenotypically white. Okay. Definitely, you know, phenotypically black.
Right.
Okay, but thanks very
much. Thank you. So before I get to the article, let's say this. It's important to note that there's a difference between race and ancestry. Ancestry is your DNA. It is immutable. It does not change. It is what it is. Race is a construct. It's mutable. It changes over time through language, geography, culture. The people who would have been identified as white during the days prior to majority rule would not necessarily be identified as white 60, 70, 80 years in the future. It is more helpful to talk about ancestry rather than race, because the Bahamian of primarily European descent and minority African descent that would be called white 80 years ago would be called Conky Joe today. Clearly mixed race. Clearly have a lick of color. And so it's important to make a distinction when we're talking about these things, when we're talking about race and when we're talking about ancestry. I think it's more helpful to talk about ancestry rather than race.
As you prepare that, this text says the white Bohemian communities are now more culturally than our predominantly black communities. Check out the Family Island events. Abaco have a lot of Bohemian cultural events.
Because they are Bahamian.
Have a lot of... No, I'm talking about even in terms of the cooking, things that we have abandoned in predominantly black neighborhoods, black communities.
Because of...
white neighborhoods still have. They still do so the same way, the old way. Right?
You know why they put carrots in the stew in the South?
Yeah, you explained it.
To suck up the excess salt. Yeah. And because it looked pretty, it got a lick of color.
Yes.
But also... capitalism and marketing trends also affect the ways that we live and how we live shifts. But here's the first article, Mr. Newry. Adrian White voices support for Trump. Speaking in the House of Assembly yesterday, St. Anne's MP Adrian White congratulated U.S. President Donald Trump on his inauguration and voiced his support of the controversial leader. Quote, I'm wearing my nice red tie today.
Lord have mercy.
He said, I was going to wear a tie. I'm glad I wasn't even getting mixed up in this, buddy. Quote, I'm wearing my nice red tie today.
This is a mistake.
He said,
turn white.
Quote, when I turn it over, it's from the line of Donald J. Trump.
Mistake.
Quote, so I'm here now recognizing the 47th U.S. President of the United States of America and giving congratulations to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance on the election and inauguration yesterday, Madam Speaker. Close quote.
It was a mistake, Adrian White.
Yesterday, White also questioned the government's decision to send a ZNS team to Washington, D.C. Let's go to there. White questions LaRota on ZNS's inauguration trip cost. Social Services, Broadcasting, and Information Minister Miles LaRota could not confirm the cost of ZNS's Washington, D.C. trip for Donald Trump's inauguration yesterday after St. Anne's MP Adrian White claimed it exceeded $200,000. While congratulating President Trump on his inauguration in the House of Assembly, Mr. White said, quote, I know that most of the Bahamas must feel the same way I do, or at least the individuals that sent a team from ZNS to Washington, D.C., with reports being that it cost over $200,000 to send a bunch of individuals to do a Zoom call with Congressman Waters. Close quotes.
You over-exaggerate that number. I think he over-exaggerated that number. It can't be $200,000. You need to tell me where you get that estimate.
You know how much money it cost to ship the beige computers up there to set up the Zoom call?
They took a phone.
Which one?
The high-end iPhone.
Well, you know how much the roaming charges are?
That's, it ain't going to be $100,000.
Are you close?
No, it ain't going to be $100,000. You have another article before we go into the phone?
Go to the phone line, and then we pull up the next article.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning, sir.
I'm in a mental fury. The social jury. Now, listen, it's useless or futile to talk about race. It's a construct, but they have another suffix for that, Aaron, and you wouldn't like the suffix, all right? Because you talk that in private, right?
Okay.
It rhymes, but... It struck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, but listen to me. Firstly, when you look at the DNA symposium that took place more than a decade ago, as it relates to the African, the origins of man, et cetera, and it shows where we came from, and it climate biology in which people adopted grew long hair, small noses because of climate influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody came out of Africa. Out of Africa, it all began. So if you take a black and a white mice, this is basic biology, right? Genetics, right? So the white mice and the black mice, and then some would come out phenotypical, genotypical. And then you let them mate with another white mice, and you go on white.
Mm-hmm.
So you selective breeding, you get rid of the blackness. But to the eugenicists and the basic concepts of eugenics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So started by Sister Frances Galton and Charles Darwin, you are still black once you have a speck of black in your gene. You read the book Queenie with Alex Haley described what his mother went through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you still considered black. So, I mean, which is it? You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's still a futile conversation when you really look at it historically, genetically, from what is proven. And then I'd like to comment on the situation with Zedness going to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's futile because it's a waste of public fund, and I agree with Dwight Strong. I like what Dwight said the other morning. What can we benefit with? They don't like Trump. But I'm not agreeing with everything what Trump is doing, but only an imbecile. And I listened to Dr. Darvall talk about Trump pulling out from the WHO. Aaron, I have a preponderance of evidence to show you why Trump did that. Trump has a lot of sense, and he's being guided by the right people with certain decisions he makes. You saw the foolishness that went on with the WHO and they're still trying to implement this pandemic treaty via the international health regulations and the influence of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and other people who disproportionately donate money to the WHO and their influence. So we would be naive to believe, even with the United Nations and their six organs, if you look at the way how they influence the decisions, and you look at Muammar Gaddafi's speech before the UN General Assembly or the UN Security Council, I can't remember which one of those BS entities, but Muammar Gaddafi's speech is right there, and he criticized it and the way how they influence NATO. So, I mean, you can't blame Trump. You look at NATO, you look at the WHO, man, you know, give Trump a break, man. Please, he stands on the side of humanity, but yet still people have him as in the realm of insanity because they are imbecilic and underread and being spoon-fed garbage. And how could Dr. Darvall be angry and telling people to calm down, we can be okay? We don't really need the WHO. In Taiwan, didn't have the WHO, and they failed better during the pandemic. Why are people so status quo-driven in their ignoramus and statements to the public, deceiving the masses? Who will pay for this?
Okay, then.
I'm very concerned for people in America. I saw a troubling video this morning. I'm hoping like it's a psyops. Like, I'm hoping it's fake. It doesn't look staged.
I don't worry about America at all. I worry about the Bahamas. I worry about Adrian White saying he supports Trump. Right?
Openly. I'm worried about the people who don't say it openly.
Yeah?
That's who I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I prefer people say it openly.
I am concerned.
I'm not concerned. Listen.
Let me say this. I remember when Adrian White had a family photo when he's opting to become a member of parliament. Before he became a member of parliament, mm-hmm. he's trying to get the nomination. And in this family photo, he wore his traditional Scottish
garb.
And I remember I was vexed. I said, man, you're Bahamian, man. You generation Bahamians. Until I did research and found that we have a Bahamian Scottish kilt, an official kilt. And he actually was wearing it, right? It's an official Bahamian Scottish kilt. And that he is from the Scottish lang, Bohemian Scottish lang. I just found it odd.
What is the Mel Gibson movie about
Braveheart?
Yeah. Adrian.
No, he has. They have their own kilt for true.
Forget these by them. Grow you some Braveheart locks.
What?
You know, indigenous white people water hair and locks because it matted. I mean, it matted. Yeah. And then they were like, since it matted, why we don't style it? The point is, Adrian, grow your Scottish Braveheart Highlander. What is it? Rob Roy? Rob Roy locks. And put on your kilt.
No.
See, these people have to say.
Be more bohemian in Cook's house.
But you know he don't cook sauce. That's great. Neighbor, invite me over. Cook some sauce, invite me over. I ain't bringing Nuri.
No.
I ain't bringing Nuri, but I can take some pictures.
No one tested to invite me.
I don't want you to taste the sauce. I bet it tastes good.
Mm. I don't eat sauce anyway, but good.
You don't have to tell them that.
I don't eat sauce.
Don't mind that part, Adrian. I eat no sauce for him.
If you don't do stew fish, but he don't have no Spanish well blood inside you don't, of fish.
You
what
don't
he
know
about stew fish? What Adrian White know about stew fish?
Adrian, invite me over so I can tell this, but you know something, man. The call of Gourney. This is the next article.
Read the next article.
White criticizes government's purchase of three BMWs for country's embassy in Washington. Take the caller.
We got three new BMWs.
I don't.
Be rich, though. Yeah, like we hard times. Remember, despite the IMF saying some economic times coming, the Pirates said, no, we ain't have no. Anyway, let's go to the caller. Go, producer, patch the caller through, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, Moses. Good morning to Ms. Green and good morning, Mr. Neri Pop here.
Good morning.
Most of us Bahamians, we agree with what whites say. Congratulations to Donald Trump. We agree with that. I don't understand when you say, I sound like you're saying he shouldn't have do it or he wrong for it. I mean, if he to say he supports.
He can congratulate Donald Trump, but just don't support Donald Trump antics and say he support him. Two different things. He can congratulate Donald Trump, but don't say he support his antics.
Or to rephrase
what
it.
What difference is if he to say he support what Kamala for?
No, Kamala gone. We don't talk about
it. If she did win,
not if.
It would have been any different.
You can't say if.
Yeah, I think what Nuri is suggesting is that White could have said, hey, I support Trump's policy. I look forward to the initiatives of the new administration.
Okay.
Which it suggests that I don't support this,
hey, babe. You know how to fix the words, and you and this constituency and everything. I guess he needed to let you come over for some stew conch or stew fish.
For real, because I remember when him and his big brother run us out the bush.
Yeah,
because we was girls.
Yeah, just how you remember that. It ain't nothing wrong with him saying that. Some of us out here feel like that, and we feel the same way. We support the like how you break it down, but maybe he just need to fix the words better. And he asked the right question about how much they spent, and Nuri, if it's $200,000... I mean, we might know what they had to go through to appreciate, but that didn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound like we could afford that. What about the little girl who fight by CB Battle?
We ain't talking about that today. Outside?
But there's a, listen, if you could get to today's Tribune and, you know, use the app to read it for you. CV Bethel teachers sit out after student fight and amid concerns for their safety. And I think I read an excerpt from another media source that suggested that a teacher.
Why are they allowing that to happen, Odell?
They're not
allowing. Stepping on that yet.
Yeah.
It sounds like one of the teachers saying they believe gang and wall, but the ministry said.
We'll talk about that on the next day. I'll go in detail and you can call and go in depth. Okay. It's now 12 o'clock.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, man, of course. I appreciate you when you call, man. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.